the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Now, welcome to the program, Johnny Dean and Terry Keyes. That's right. Just ahead this hour on Bucket Strategy Investing, you can never get enough of Terry Keyes. So he's back here with me for more. Terry's in today for Professor Rick Plum. He's here from Lucia Capital Group. We're standing by to answer more of your money questions. And as is our style, we do have a bunch of stuff to talk about again this hour, including some of the things that we didn't get to yesterday and an item or two from last hour. And I also want to include these longevity annuities. We were talking annuities last hour. And there's been a lot of hype over these things, these longevity annuities. We didn't get a chance to discuss that, so I'm going to bring that up with Terry this hour. Your emails, your phone calls, that's going to be a big part of the hour, too, so you want to keep it right here for the best in money information. We do have the information you need to know about your money and your money strategies. You can send your emails directly to us, wealthed.com. You click on the Find Your Answer link. You can also call us right now with your money questions. Looks like all the lines are open right now. 877-PLANNER, our number here in the studio, 877-752-6637.
Some of the best calls we've had in a long, long time that last hour.
So there's a rather high bar set, but don't let that stop you.
They were great calls because you can educate a mass amount of people with the answer you're giving the one individual. It applies to a lot of people.
Well, it really does. In fact, that's some of the stuff we were talking about last hour. We may even want to clarify some of that for those of you, because I know, you know, people haven't tuned in. They missed last hour. Brain Trust Advisors, they are also available to you off the air, in person, or any which way you'd like to do it. If you want a personalized buckets plan, you need one. Yes, of course you do. A bucket strategy, one that's designed with your goals and your needs in mind, so you can call Professor Plum or Terry Keyes or anyone at Lucia Capital Group at their phone number, 800-644-1150. That's the off-air number. You can schedule an appointment with a Brain Trust Advisor and get yourself a Buckets Strategy, 800-644-1150. We'll be talking more about Buckets tomorrow, by the way. You and I are going to do a sort of Buckets, not really a primer, but it's a Buckets explained why it's especially important now to have the strategy.
Well, and we gain new viewers and new listeners all the time, you know, in our audience. And a lot of people know what the bucket strategy is. You can never have enough refreshers for the people that already know it. But I like about once a month or so, like to just spend time like we will tomorrow and talk about just the strategy in general. Why is the strategy important? How does the strategy work in general? And I think it's just good general information to either hear for the first time or rehear.
Yeah, so. Especially as the market, you know, market's approaching its high. And there are people who are going to retire in the next couple of years. And they're thinking, oh, man, you know, I know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. I'm going to retire. And then 2 months later, the market's going to implode. And my $500,000 portfolio is going to be down to $400,000 or whatever the number is. And I'm going to have to go back to work. And it keeps people up at night.
And the bottom line is, if you're bucketized, it really doesn't matter where the market is.
No, it really doesn't, because it's a long-term.
Because nobody knows in the end anyways.
Nobody knows. You know, you're going to try to predict this stuff. You can't.
A guy on one of the famous business networks, okay, yeah. Yesterday morning, just absolutely pretty much adamantly guaranteeing all of the audience that there's just no way this can be a good year for stocks in 2016. And he gave all the reasons why, you know, two or three reasons why. And I don't know how anyone can stand there and say that, to be honest with you, because absolutely nobody knows. You know, I would love to get a copy of that clip, hold it, and on December 31st, call that gentleman up and say, hey, S&P's up 32% this year. What happened to your prediction?
Well, you know, it's really easy to do because a lot of this is in writing. I did this just yesterday, and I do this at the start of every year. I love to go back, put a little filter on the news time frame, and I get between December, say, 20th and January 15th of 2014 to 2015, and I say, what are the predictions for the 2015 stock market? Okay, right. Every single one of them, not a single one said it would be down that I saw, and obviously I didn't look at all of them. Mm-hmm. Most of them said expect anywhere between 9 and 12% rate of return on the S&P. Well, where were we? We had a total return of about 1.4%. If you take dividends out, it actually was down 0.7%. Mm-hmm. Not a single one predicted that. And so now we look at the S&P. We were up just slightly, only because of reinvested dividends. Otherwise, right, it would have been down. You have people who are saying, oh, that's it. You know, we had five good years. We had six good years. This is the end. And this is all part of this whole recency bias that we talk about. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so We'll discuss more of this tomorrow.
Guessing the performance of either the Dow or S&P 500 is fun. It's an entertainment thing. It's not. You should not base your retirement or your financial future. I'm in a contest up in Seattle every year. There's a famous restaurant in Seattle that has a contest called Guess the Dow, and you fill it out, and a lot of stock brokers participate.
Fun with it.
And it's fun. Yeah, they have an annual luncheon, and it's fun, but it's not. We're not basing anyone's retirement on it.
No, you would never ever do that. That's why we have strategies, and that's why we have the time frame that we do, and that's why we bucketize. Now, I had a question because we talked last hour, Terry Keyes. By the way, 877 Planner our number. If you have money questions, we got lines open right now. 877-752-6637. Had a question on these annuities, and this always comes up. Many people say, I don't like annuities, or I was told they're rotten because of the fees. Terry Keyes, what are the fees in annuities?
Okay, now,
let's be clear of which type we're talking
about. Right, that's where I'm going first. So first of all, in a fixed annuity or a fixed indexed annuity, they're both fixed annuities. A fixed index and a fixed annuity are both forms of fixed annuities. One gives you, you know your rate up front each and every year for a 5 or a 7 or a multi-year period of time. And an index, you don't know your rate until the end of, retrospectively at the end of each and every reporting period, normally a year, but it could be 2 years, it could be monthly, whatever. But it's normally at the end of each and every year. So in those types of annuities, there really are no fees being charged or deducted from the account, okay? Mm-hmm. So the insurance company is making its money, making its profit off a spread, off the rate of return. So I know right now that if I go to a company and they give me a 5-year guaranteed rate of 2.6%, which is probably an accurate rate in today's world, okay? 2.6 per year, every year for the next 5 years, they'll guarantee you that in writing, an A-rated insurance company. They're probably earning somewhere in the 4% range per year on their money, maybe even higher.
Which equates,
so that's how they can afford to give me 2.6. So that's how they're making money. That's why they could do it with no fee. Sorry.
Yeah. So which equate? I hate to say this, and I may be using the wrong terminology. Does if the fact that they're making 4% and they're giving you say 2.6, does that mean that there is technically a 1.4% fee? Is that the wrong terminology? Because I've heard it said that there are no fees.
It is. I think it's the wrong terminology because they've chosen not to charge any fee. There really are no fees.
Okay,
and if they're in the business, I mean, if a restaurant charges you $11 for a hamburger that costs them $6,
is it a $5?
Is that a fee? No, it's what it costs to buy a hamburger.
Right. Okay, there you go. Good. I see. This is why I have you clear this stuff up.
Yeah. So I don't think that's not a fee, but I do think you shouldn't buy anything. I don't care if it's a car, a boat, anything. If you don't know how the person selling to you is making their money, I mean, you should know how an annuity works if you're going to buy one. You know, I mean, so the minute someone says no fees, you should say, well, wait a minute. Can you just explain to me, please, how the insurance company is doing this? I mean, and why they're making it? And the reason is the average insurance company offering a fixed rate of return can go out in the general market with their billions and billions of dollars of assets they have to keep invested. They can't keep them in cash earning zero. So they have a pool of investments that probably in today's world is earning 4.5 or 5%.
So the insurance company could go out there with the billions that they have, and they're earning 4.5% safely. I mean, like a guaranteed basis.
That's not guaranteed, but the investment managers at these large insurance companies are some of the best investment people in the world, and they have these charters that they're given by their board of directors at the insurance company that says, we want you to own 1% of this entire thing in apartment buildings. We want 1% to be commercial office space. Mm. We want 2% to be treasuries. They have a whole formula. And when you put the whole formula together with billions of dollars, I think you're talking about a 5% rate of return right now. They can't put it all in the stock market, John.
No.
And they can't put it all in the treasury at 2%. So they have their own bucket strategy, the insurance company does. Their billions, I never thought about it till today, but their billions is bucketized.
Well, this is kind of how I looked at it.
Yeah.
Because they got some safety, they have some relative safety, and they probably have some. Now, again, they're working on some of these large numbers, the averages. They're assuming that not everybody's going to be taking their money out at the same time.
Now, if you buy a variable annuity from an insurance company, a variable annuity, there are fees charged and deducted. First of all, there is an annuity fee.
Yes.
Okay? Just an annuity fee, just an insurance company fee that the insurance company charges to sell you, to have let just, you own an annuity.
Just to have it exist.
It's for mortality expenses, they say. Okay?
Yeah, M&E.
Mortality and expenses. Then there is a fee for the underlying investment because variable annuities have underlying investments underneath them. So you're buying funds, separate accounts are called, but they're like a mutual fund. Rick gets really mad when I call them mutual funds.
No, they're not. We can't say that. They are sub-accounts that...
Rick, these are mutual funds inside these annuities there.
Professor Plum just felt a great disturbance in the force. Yeah.
So anyways, but there's a fee for that portfolio, that separate account, okay? Mm-hmm. So if you're buying an international one, there's a fee for that of a 1% or so. And then if you're buying any riders on a variable annuity, there's a third fee for the rider, whether you have it or not. If you don't have it, then there's just the two fees. But those are annual fees, and they are deducted monthly from your actual account. So if at the end of the year your performance was 8 and your fees were 2, you netted 6 in a variable annuity. And now you can call that one a fee, John,
it absolutely is. And, yeah. And you have to be aware of these things when you're buying these.
Yeah.
And are they're often criticized for these high fees. Do you see that as... I mean, is that valid? Is it valid to criticize?
I think you should not. There's no need to have a fee in a variable annuity unless you're going to buy one with a lifetime income rider. Then you're getting a benefit that's worth the fee.
Okay. 877 Planner. Now we got some more stuff to talk about. I mentioned these longevity annuities that are being pushed by many people. I would say especially those in the government that would like you to have one of these. We're going to talk about what these are. I had a question on this, an email somewhere on it. As well, so I will incorporate that. 877 Planner, lines are open. You have a money question. Terry Keyes sitting in today for Professor Rick Plum with me, Johnny Dean, Bucket Strategy Investing. Bucket Strategy Investing, Johnny Dean, Terry Keyes sitting in today for Professor Rick Plum. Professor Plum is out trotting around the Pacific Northwest, talking to various people in Seattle.
Oh, probably by the way, floating around the Northwest. He's probably floating with all the rain we have on the West Coast here.
That's true, although I think we'd probably have more, farther south than that than they actually got. He had to go to Seattle to get out of
the rain. Away from the Southern California El Nino.
Exactly. So, but speaking of Seattle, now Terry and Professor Plum, you guys are going to be headed up there sometime next month. Well, a couple of workshop dates already set for this year.
Yeah, so we do these workshops all over the country in the spring and the fall. Lots of great cities. But the first two for 2016 are Las Vegas first, mm-hmm. and then Seattle second. February 20th, Saturday morning in Las Vegas.
Okay.
February 27th, Saturday morning in Seattle.
So if you want to sign up for these, I know you got time. I mean, people are thinking about other things at the moment, but you still have some time. If you want to sign up for them, you can. Right now, you'd have to call 800-644-1150. That's the number at Lucia Capital Group. And just let them know you'd like to show up. I believe tomorrow or the next day, sometime in the next day or two, it'll be available online at wealthed.com.
He's posting it on our website as we speak.
Oh, good.
He's setting it up so that you can register for all of these,
good,
these different cities.
Once we talk about it, it's out there.
Yeah.
It's out there.
Yeah.
They're committed.
Yeah, and let me just, while we're talking about it, then we move on. I don't know which order, but we end up in Santa Clara, San Jose area.
Yes.
We end up in Houston at one point, Portland, Oregon. We got a great radio station mm-hmm. up there.
Phoenix, I believe.
Phoenix, Arizona we go to.
Or Scottsdale, one of them. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's in Scottsdale, but it's the Phoenix area.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so lots of great cities. Lots of great cities.
Yeah, so there are probably a dozen or so cities that they're going to be visiting. Check the local listings, as in wealthed.com, I think probably starting tomorrow, to get the exact locations. And naturally, you can sign up, and it's all free. 877-PLANNER is our number, PLANNER, 877-752-6637. Money questions answered right here. All you got to do is ask them, as Aaron did in Houston, Texas. Now, Aaron was referring to something we talked about before, and I was sort of waiting to use this with you. Aaron in Houston, Texas, this was on a different list.
I don't have that one. But
no, you
ahead.
Don't, but that's all right, because I've been saving it for you. I heard you talk about these longevity annuities, but I missed the discussion on whether you like them or not. Are they worth having inside an IRA? All right, I want you to explain, if you would, because there's a lot of hype around these longevity annuities right now. What are they, and are they worth it?
All right, I'm going to go backwards.
Okay.
Because I can't hold this in. I can't stand them. I don't like them. I know Rick doesn't like them either. And I think I joked in a production meeting this morning with you, John, that I don't know if there's been 5 of them sold around the United States. You know. And so it's obviously
sure. It's like
they're not very popular.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So that's going in reverse. No, absolutely, I do not like them at all, Aaron. And here's why, because here's how they work, okay?
Uh-huh.
It's an annuity where at a young age, okay, probably in your 40s even, they want you to defer your savings, force you to save for retirement, defer for 15, 20 years, and then turn it into an income payment, like a pension plan later on when you're 65 or 66 or 70, okay?
So they want you to put aside a certain amount of money into this annuity?
On a regular basis. You can do it annually. You can do it the first year. You know, usually you would contribute annually.
So you're socking away money every year into this same annuity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what happened? When would you start doing this?
Well, first of all, they're a fixed investment, which is a terrible place for a 45-year-old to save for retirement. What are current interest rates?
Oh, they're rotten.
And how long have they been rotten? Several years.
Several years, and yeah. Could be for quite some time. We don't know.
Yeah, and they're the lowest they've been in over 35 years, interest rates, right?
Right.
So why would I buy something?
Lock it in
at a 1.5%, 2% interest rate for the rest of my life. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, it doesn't, because if you're 45, presumably you've got 15, 20 years left where you can earn. You won't need to tap into this money. You can do much better in equities.
You should be aggressive in your 40s and even in your 50s, depending on when you're going to retire, because you have a time frame. You have, as long as you said it, and we say it all the time, as long as you have a 10 or 15-year time frame, you can have a majority of your investments in equities and alternative investments. You don't need to be in a fixed annuity that's deferred for 15 or 20 years. Now, there's an incentive. They give you an incentive to do this, the government did.
It has to do with your RMD.
You're right. Like anything else, if they don't think you're just going to, it's a great idea on its own, they've got to entice you. And the tax code is the best way to entice people usually. That's why IRAs are deductible. That's why Roths are tax-free, okay? Mm-hmm. Those are all incentives to save for retirement. By the way, I like IRAs and I like Roth IRAs. But these, the incentive is this portion of money that is saved is accumulated, but when you're 70 and a half, when you'd normally have an RMD on an IRA, even though these can be in your 401k, these longevity annuities, and in what will eventually be an IRA, they will waive the RMD. There is no required minimum distribution.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, big deal.
Yeah, I don't see that as a big incentive. So.
So what? You put your money away into this thing, and you're 60, you're 65, whatever it is, and then you've got to wait how long until you take it out?
Well, you can turn it on at a retirement age, 65, 66, when you retire.
Well, then why are they called longevity annuities? I guess the question is this. I mean, it's supposed
insurance
to protect against living to age 90.
Yeah, the insurance company, when you turn it on, is going to do a calculation and guarantee you a payment.
So the only thing different about these is that you don't have to include them as part of your required minimum distribution.
Yeah, because you can buy an immediate annuity. Why would you not, as interest rates go up over the next several years, mm-hmm. as you get older and older, start to move more and more money from your equities into maybe some type of a deferred annuity, mm-hmm. right? Or an index, fixed index annuity, and start to accumulate a massive amount. And when you retire, of your $1 million portfolio, maybe 400,000 of it's in an annuity. And then if interest rates are good when you and I retire, John, mm-hmm. maybe the Treasury's double or triple what it is today by the time you and I retire.
We don't know what it is.
But if they are, and you know they are at that time, mm-hmm. then go to the insurance company and buy an immediate annuity then. Why do you have to buy it today?
But it wouldn't make sense. No, again, only because of interest rates.
Right. So I currently, as someone retiring, I don't recommend an immediate annuity because you're buying at the all-time low in interest rates. So I just say, no, let's take that off the table. Let's look for different alternatives. But I may have a totally different tune in 10 years from now if interest rates are 5 or 6%. I'm talking the 10-year Treasury. If the 10-year Treasury is 5 or 6, why not lock in a payment with an insurance company?
On the off chance that they could be lower later on?
If they're over, on a relative basis of long periods of time, if they're at a mid or higher range, that's the good time to do it. Right.
Of course, you never know when interest rates are higher. I mean, you know, 5% on the Treasury or 10-year, 4.5% on the Treasury, that seemed low
right.
10 years ago.
Right.
I mean,
right.
it never went below 4.
Right.
You know. Now, Aaron had one other question. And just having said what you said about them, he wanted to know, are they worth having inside an IRA? You don't think they're worth having at all.
Right.
But if you have one, is it better to have it inside an IRA or out? Does it even matter?
I don't even want to answer the question because I don't want you to buy one, period. I guess it's always better to have it in an IRA and grow tax deferred. But an annuity is an annuity. They grow tax deferred anyway, so it really doesn't matter.
That's true. Then you have the whole discussion that some people have about don't ever buy an annuity inside of an IRA because you're paying for tax deferral and you've already got tax deferral with an IRA.
Right. And I don't necessarily agree with that either. So and that's a whole nother discussion. We can do a whole show on that. Someday.
No, in fact, that's one of the things that when we talk about buying these annuities inside of an IRA, a lot of the people who police this stuff will look at it and say, wait a minute, that's wrong. You shouldn't be doing that because conventional wisdom says you're paying for something that you're already going to get for free. But there actually is a reason in the real world sometimes for doing exactly that, right?
And everybody's situation is different. That's why you really need to have your own strategy. If you're buying a lifetime income annuity, which is deferred anyways, there's nothing wrong with buying that in an IRA. and paying taxes on the payments.
Exactly. Okay. All right. I hope that clears it up for you, Aaron. I had a couple more emails on annuities that I've been holding for Terry Keyes. We got others to talk about as well. If you have any money questions at all, it does not have to be on annuities. It could be on insurance products. It could be on Social Security. It could be on retirement. Whatever it happens to be, whatever your money issue is, we'll be talking about it right here. You just have to give us a call because we do have lines open. Johnny Dean, Terry Keyes, sitting in for Professor Rick Plum. Our phone lines, our phone number rather, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. It is Bucket Strategy Investing, coming back with more when we come back. How about that? Bucket Strategy Investing, Johnny Dean, Terry Keyes sitting in today for Professor Rick Plum. Our phone lines are open, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. We've been talking for a good part of the day about some of these annuity products, and I'm asking you about these, Terry, because you've seen how they, you've been on both the side of how they're sold, and you've also been on the side of how they're put together.
How they're built.
Exactly. So it's like having somebody who sells a machine and also at the same time built it. And so it's helpful to have somebody who knows sort of the ins and outs of all these things. Now, one thing that comes up, and I think we mentioned this at last hour or somewhere, you get these flyers in the mail that want you to come to these dinners, and they want you to have their free steak dinner. And the one thing that they tell you on this card is, we've got a product for you that is exactly like investing in the stock market. You get stock market-like returns, but you get absolutely no risk. Come and find out what it is they're talking about. Now,
and that's right, you get those. Those are all, every major metropolitan area in the United States, those are mailed out every month.
Yes,
by insurance agents who want to sell you an annuity, usually an indexed annuity, number one. And then also, you've seen it, John, on one of the largest news stations, television stations, a television ad that just runs consistently. And the gentleman that owns the company is promoting the upside of the stock market without any downside risk.
Yes. How would you like to participate?
Market-like returns, I think, is the actual quote. Market-like returns with no downside risk.
Exactly. So what they're thinking is, well, gee, they want you to think, well, I could put money in, and if the market goes way up 30%, like it did a couple years ago,
I get market-like returns.
I get those market, because that's a market-like return. What if it did 14% like it did a couple of years ago?
Well, I'll err on the side of caution a little bit. What is the definition of a market-like return? I would say, what has the market done over the last 40 or 50 years? What's the S&P 500 done average over the last 50 years? 1950 was when the S&P 500 was put together. The index was actually created. It was 1950.
8-9%.
Yeah, I think it's 10 to 10.5. So that's a market-like return if you include dividends. Okay.
That'd be market-like return for me. I would go over the last 20 years myself.
Right. So, if these annuities that this gentleman on television and these people at these restaurants all over the United States are promoting have averaged about a 10 to 11% rate of return over the last 20 years. By the way, the first index annuity was introduced in 1995 by a company out of Boston, Massachusetts, an insurance company, small company. And they've just taken the investment world by storm.
95 was the first index annuity?
20 years this year, 21 years this year.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, they're relatively new in the scheme of things, right?
Sure,
S&P's been around 65 years.
Right.
This index annuity's been around 20 years.
Wow.
So there's a company, I won't go into it, there's a third-party company that tracks the performance and all the details and everything of index annuities. They go company to company, and they compile information. It's a great resource. He's a great guy. I know the gentleman who does it. And I'm going to say the average rate of return of all index annuities since 1995 is in the 4 to 5% range.
So
4 to 5% annual rate of return on index annuities. That's what you should expect over a long period of time when you buy one. Now, how is that market-like returns?
That's not the 10 or 11 that would be
market. How does any regulator allow these TV commercials and all these investments to go around saying these things? Because they're not. They're a fixed annuity, and they're designed to do somewhere between a 4 and 5% rate of return. You said I built them. I was on the building side.
Yeah.
I sat in the room with the actuaries and the people that designed these, and we had long, long discussions on how to work with these things. And we all agreed that we were shooting for that type of a rate of return. That's all you're going to get when you build them the way that they're built. Now, there's a company that came up with a twist, I won't go into it, on a way to get you a better, closer to market-like return, maybe a 7% rate of return over a long period of time instead of 4 to 5.
Long period of time meaning?
5, 10, 15 years.
Okay.
And the way they did it was you had to assume some risk.
Of course.
Right. So if there's absolutely no risk, anybody with any common sense out there knows that there's no way I can give you market-like returns. If there was, then, and this is what the TV commercial portrays, mm-hmm. everybody should own these things. And then if we could all go out and get S&P type returns without any downside risk, why would anybody put their money in the stock market?
Well, that's what I would do. See, if I didn't know any better, I would say market-like returns. Well, let me see, what's the market done over the last few years? Well, 2015, not great, but 14 was, 12, whatever percent, 11%.
Yeah.
13 was what, 28%, something
yep.
like that.
Yep.
Hey, I'll take that. And by the way, I have no risk on the downside. Who wouldn't do that?
Yeah. If it sounds too good to be true.
It is. And I don't know what they're telling these people when they come back and they say, so your guarantee is really going to be around 4 or 5%, perhaps.
Right.
Now that's the max, by the way.
Right.
That doesn't mean they're guaranteeing 4 or 5%, right?
Right. No. That's, you're just hoping for a 4 to 5.
Right,
You're going to get 0 one year, maybe 6 one year if that's your cap rate.
Uh-huh,
you might get a few threes or fours, add it all up, and you got a 4 to 5% return at the end of 7 or 10 years.
Yeah. All right. 877-PLANNER. Once again, it helps to know what to ask. In fact, I may have you repeat that, the things you need to ask when you're considering an annuity.
Okay.
All right. Well,
yeah.
We'll cover that. I want to get to a couple of calls, though. 877-752-6637. Las Vegas, Nevada. Lee is up next. Lee, how can we help you today?
Terry and John, thank you for taking my call. And Terry, you're an annuity guru.
Thanks, Lee.
Yeah. I suspended my Social Security benefits. I started at 62. I'm suspending them at age 66. I've already gone through that. But I was receiving about $1,500 a month, and I'm just wondering, when I start them back up at 70, do you have any idea, ballpark, as to where they might be?
Well, you suspended them at 60, at 66?
66.
Yeah. So are you talking about the actual dollar figure, or what are you
looking
for?
The because dollar figure. Yeah. You're getting dinged a little bit, Lee, because you
yes.
took benefits early for a few years.
Right.
So you're saying that they're reporting now your current benefit, if you were to turn it on. I know it's suspended. Your current benefit would be $1,500?
Oh, no. That's what I was getting at 62.
Okay.
And then you suspended for how long?
Well, I just started suspending them this year, 66, and
okay.
I'll start them up again at 70.
Well, as I understand it, and I don't have the calculators here, but as I understand it, it will grow at about 8% per
year. You're going to get an 8% add-on every year that you delay now, but on the low number, because let me put it this way, had you never started at 62, your benefit today would be $2,400, and you'd get 8% on top of that every year while you waited. So what you're going to do is you're going to get 8% on top of $1,500 every year. So about, I'm going to guess your benefit's going to be about $1,900 to $2,070.
Oh, okay. Well,
yep.
I appreciate that, because, I have to do it because of my RMDs. I have enough that would really hurt my Social Security, and it would tax it real bad. So
and one other question, and I think you probably already know to factor this in: are you in relatively good health? Because if you didn't have longevity, you'd be crazy to suspend.
Yeah,
just take the money.
I've got an uncle that's 96, and he's still playing golf. So
You have longevity in your family.
Yes,
so
yes.
No. If you don't need the income, and you have longevity on your side, that's the calculation right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, defer to your 70, and then turn it on when you're 70.
Yeah, I've only done it because I listened to you guys, and it made a lot of sense to me. And then based on my longevity, I thought it was the right path to travel with that. So
no, you are. You are.
The information.
No problem, Lee. Thanks for the call. He's right.
He is
spot on. Rick and I talk about this all around the country, because what he can do now, and he alluded to it, but just for everybody's benefit.
Yeah.
He can draw more money from his IRA to replace the money he's not getting from Social Security.
Which,
so he's
by the
spending
way,
his
will,
IRA down, John.
Will, in turn, between age 66 and age 70, do what, Terry?
It will reduce his RMD. So he'll have much less that he'll be forced to take
exactly.
and allow him to stay in a lower tax bracket. And by the way, if he stays low enough, not very much of his Social Security will then be taxable. He's got a great tax plan because he listens to the Professor Plum and I as we go around the country and teach this to people. And why, John, for the life of me, I don't know why, financial advisors all around the country, well, I do know why, but they continue to tell people to delay your IRA, turn on your Social Security at 66.
It's been almost a mantra, which is always a defer, keep your IRAs going for as long as possible until you absolutely have to start taking them out,
mm-hmm.
which can, absolutely can, in many cases it does, turn into a tax nightmare for somebody who's all of a sudden stuck with a huge IRA. They spent all their personal money or a good chunk of it.
The right person, or the wrong in this situation, who does that and has the right amount of income can end up doing that and be putting themselves in a 25% tax bracket for the rest of their life. When had they met Rick and I at age 60, or the Lucia Capital Group advisor in their area at age 60, we could have kept them in a 15% tax bracket for their entire life. You live to 96 like this gentleman's uncle. You know how much taxes that saves you by being in a 15% tax bracket for 25 or 30 years?
Oh, absolutely.
Hundreds of thousands and thousands of dollars.
And you start thinking about this stuff, say, around age 60 or so. You should be thinking about it. You should be looking at your IRA and deciding, what's my RMD going to be 10 years from now?
When you retire, as long as you're pre-70, when you retire, you should definitely have a plan.
You also need to take a look at your tax bracket now, mm-hmm. and you need to find out, because when you start converting money or taking money out of your IRA, that's going to be taxable to
income.
So it's going to add on your income.
Right.
If it's going to put you into a higher tax bracket now than it will later on, it may not make sense.
Right. But what the financial advisors do is they try to keep you in the lowest to zero to low 15. I say spend the bracket, spend the 15, do the calculations.
Take it up, because you got to pay tax on it anyway. Would you rather pay 15% now on the money, or would you rather pay
25% later for the rest of your life?
Yeah, exactly. But the problem is people don't like to write a check right now.
Well, so they feel good temporarily. That's why the financial advisors do it.
Because I'm saving you tax money right now. This guy wants you to pay tax.
And then you fire that financial advisor when you turn 71.
Exactly. Should have listened to you. All right, John in Honolulu, hang on. We're going to get to your Medicare question when we come back. Some trivia as well. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Bucket Strategy Investing, Johnny Dean, Terry Keyes. I thank Terry, by the way, for sitting in today for Professor Plum. I'm inviting you back tomorrow.
I'm going to send Plum a bill.
I think you'd do this for free.
I think you enjoy this.
Yes, right. Because Plum's not going to pay it anyway.
He's not going to pay it.
No. So you're pretty well stuck with this. And you got us now coming up tomorrow with Terry. And we sort of mentioned this earlier, talking about buckets. Now, this show is called Bucket Strategy Investing. So the idea would be to talk a little bit about some of the basics of how bucket strategy works.
I think it's very healthy from time to time to go back to basics and discuss the bucket strategy.
Well, it's especially important because, you know, there are people out there who are concerned. They're looking at the stock market. It did great in 2013, did okay in 14 pretty well. 15 was sort of flat, and so they're concerned because they're saying, I'm retiring next year or 2 years or 3 years from now, and what do I do? What am I going to do? I'm going to start taking money out of my portfolio, and it's going down. Well, first of all, that goes against everything the bucket says you should do. We have an answer for that.
You have no idea when you're preparing for and retiring, mm-hmm. you have no idea whether the market's about to go down for two or three straight years, whether it's about to go straight up for five straight years. You have no idea of what the sequence of return is going to be.
Nope.
So therefore, it's imperative. You have to have a bucket strategy, because then it doesn't matter. It makes no difference. You retire based mm-hmm. on your age and assets, not based on where the market is. It does not matter. That's the basics.
Exactly.
That's it.
Match your assets to your liabilities. That's coming up tomorrow. Don't miss it. Do not. Terry Keyes will be here with me. All right. Back to the phone lines. We'll get to everybody. If you're on hold, hang on. John up next. Honolulu, Hawaii. Hello, John. How can we help you today?
Hi. I have a question. I'm turning 65 at the end of this month. Okay. I have health insurance through my company. Do I need to register for Medicare? And if I don't, do I get penalized when I do eventually want to get on the program?
No, you do not need to register, because your primary insurance, and that was the first question when I saw your question during the break. The first question I was going to ask is, do you have health insurance at work? And your primary insurance.
You're working right now, right, John? And you have health insurance from your employer, correct?
Yeah, I own the company. I went over to Obamacare in 2004 on my health plan for my company, but it is a credible insurance.
Are you the only participant in the insurance?
No, I have a couple of dozen
employees. So it's a legitimate group health insurance plan. It is your primary insurance. I think, and Rick knows better than I do, but I would go online and report to Medicare And they will ask you, do you have primary insurance? So you're, I guess technically you would call it registering. You do need to notify Medicare that you have it, because they're going to assume you don't if they don't know. They're going to assume you didn't. Go ahead.
I called Medicare, and I got, and I called Medicare, and they told me it's Obamacare, so you have to register. But then I told them it was credible, and then they said I don't have to register. But I talked to three other friends of mine who had turned 65 8 months ago and had insurance. They told me that they got penalized when they actually went on it. So I'm getting cross stories.
Yeah, because I don't call it registering. I call it registering when you turn your Medicare on. You do not need to turn Medicare on. You need to report to Medicare what you're doing, though.
So I need to do something.
Yes, but I don't think you need to call them. You just go online and you put in your information. So if that's your definition of registering, I'm with the people that are telling you to register. There's no downside to registering. They're not going to bill you the monthly fee if you already have health insurance. I know,
right.
A person that's doing it.
But you're getting two different answers from Medicare. Is that what you're saying, John?
I got an answer from Medicare. First, I called, and they told me I need to register. Then I called back after talking to my insurance company and gave me information I got from my insurance company. They said I don't have to register.
Yeah.
But I had two other people that had credible insurance, and when they went to go apply for Medicare, they got billed. They got that percentage increase
because
they didn't register when they were supposed to.
So I have two good answers for you. One is to go online, because I've been told to do that before. I've never done it myself. Obviously, it's not time yet for me. Secondly, your company, your plan that you did Obamacare, did you just do it online or did you do it through a health insurance agency?
No, I have a health insurance agency, and they gave me an option to switch over to Medicare, and I saved 30% on my fees.
Right.
And I have 20, 25 people that are under the program.
Right. So the person who is your representative at this health insurance company, you need to go to that person. They're getting paid a commission off your monthly premiums. Their job is to teach you and register you and get you, keep you clean with Medicare. That's what they get paid to do.
See,
I don't do that for a living.
As I understand it, he wouldn't have to, Terry, he wouldn't have to do it. But if he's getting one answer from Medicare that's different, I'm a little skeptical.
I'm told by a good friend who does Medicare. I don't do Medicare insurance. I don't do health insurance.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a company that I refer people to here in San Diego. I'm told by him that you do need to notify them. But again, you need to go straight today. You need to go straight to your health insurance agent, he or she, that represents you on this plan that's getting paid. So, because that's what they get paid to tell you to do. They know how to do it.
Yeah, I went to them, and they told me it's Medicare's decision. So, because the Blue Cross Blue Shield is what it is. So.
Then my second answer stands to back up the fact that they're telling you it's Medicare's deal. I go online, first of all, and I register. But when you register, I believe they're going to ask you, do you currently have
a
credible, like you say, a credible employer plan? And you're going to check the box, yes, I do.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Thanks, Lee.
Great. Oh,
that's John.
Or John, sorry.
John. Yeah, thank you.
John.
I was thinking
it was early in Honolulu, too, remember?
Yeah, so. Yeah, I know. I hesitate on this one. I don't like getting two answers from the same agency.
What happens at Social Security all the time,
I know, and
John.
It's a problem. I would want something in writing from them, or in writing from somebody associated with Medicare.
Right.
Because at the same time, he does not want to come back. I know that if you have health insurance through your group, through your work,
It becomes your primary insurance
at
65.
Working,
you are not required to pay for Medicare.
But there are people who have retired, but their company is still paying their health insurance. That doesn't count.
Right.
You have to be, as an employee,
an active participant in a plan.
Exactly. And as I understand it, then they're not going to ding you.
Right.
But, again, the fact that he's getting two different answers from Medicare, the same way you might get from an IRS person that you talk to on the phone or Social Security, I would urge John, if you're still listening, John, to get something in writing from somebody in the Medicare offices where you are.
Right.
That would be my suggestion. So. All right, I don't have time to get to the trivia. Doggone it. Well, we'll save it for tomorrow, if
great.
That works. Okay.
Yeah.
And you will be back tomorrow, Terry Keyes. We are going to be talking about bucket strategy. We're also going to get into things like sequence of returns. You mentioned that. There's a risk for retiring at the wrong time. Not if you're bucketized. That's what I'm saying. If you retire at the wrong time, so you should always know when the market is going to go up or down. But, of course, you can't know that.
No one knows. So that's why I don't understand how you can retire without a bucket strategy.
You can't. So that's why we're going to get into that tomorrow with Terry Keyes. If you need the brain trust off there, you can talk to Terry or Professor Plum or any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group who bring you this hour of the program. The off-air number, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. For Terry Keyes, I am Johnny Dean. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offered securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.